Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Makina Yabashi from CSS Spring Web. Just so we can, this is a little bit complicated, sorry. And originally, this talk was assigned for Dr. Tetsuya Ishikawa, but unfortunately, he was unable to come. But it was really fortunate for me to join this exciting conference and joining a lot of conversation and discussions with you. And I have a little bit changed my title from the X-ray optics to the photon optics because I included some results and the design for the VUV optics for our test prototype accelerator, SCSS. So this is a list of the contribution people. So we have a lot of people from the SCSS Spring 8. And for the X-ray optics, Kenji Tamasaku and Shunji Goto is from Spring 8, made a lot of contribution to develop some diamond crystal development or bare window refinement. And we also have a collaboration with Dr. Professor Yamauchi's group from the Osaka University to make very nice X-ray mirrors. And for the I will later introduce a new X-ray spectrometer. So for the design, we have a good international collaboration. And this is was originally initiated to the in the XFL conference held at the SLAC in a couple of years ago. Okay. Now, to realize a free electron laser working at a very short wavelength, so many people in the different field are making a lot of challenges. So, as we learned from this conference, and for X-ray optics, there's two important roles. There are two important roles. The first one is conditioning of the photon beam to match the user requirement. And the other is a diagnostics of the photon beam, which is directly used for the direct feedback to the accelerator, as well as for the user experiment. And for developing these optics, I believe it is very important to utilize the existing light source. For example, our third generation synchrotrons can utilize for the characterization of the coherence property of the optical elements. And the existing FEM machine, for example, the VUV or visible machine, is we can learn the experience to the past nature of the radiation. So as a first part of my talk, I will start from the photon beam diagnostics at our VUV FEL facility. So this picture is again is our site. So here is a AJB ring, Spring 8. And this is a famous computer image of our AJB SCSS machine. And along this facility, you can see this line. This is not a computer image, but a real 1 kilometer beam line, which I will show you later. And here is our prototype accelerator, 250 MeV, that produces VUV radiation in the 50 to 60 nanometer regime. So this is a design. We have a gun here, and this is an injector, and we have some main Linux, C-band Linux, and we have a couple of bandulators here. And after the beam dump, we designed the diagnostic system for the VUV radiation, so as shown here. So we need to know the energy spectrum and the pulse length and the spatial profile coherence and radiation energy of the VUV beam. But the problem is really we don't have much of space, so we have to design the limited space. So this is some drawing of our system, and we have a plane deflecting mirror here, and we have a, this is a spectrometer which is composed of the incident slit and the concave spherical grating and the CCD. And this is a photo detector. And the last one is the diagnostic system for the alignment, laser alignment system, monitoring system to the undulator section, beam position monitoring the undulator section. Okay. So I will start from our spectrometer. So the incident beam after this slit is illuminates this concave grating, so and coated in the on the gold, coated by gold, and the dispersed beam is focused onto the CCD, and we can have a energy spectrum, and using these parameters, we can obtain the very high, good resolution around 0.1% at 58 nanometer, which was measured with a helium discharge lamp. So this designs a so-called nearly normal incidence and the constant deviation. Constant deviation means that this angle, central angle deflection, average central angle is fixed. Okay, and we have a CCD camera, which is a back illuminated type to the detect the visible light to the X-ray regime. Okay, this is an example of the single shot spectrum of our SASE radiation. So this is a spectrum image, and you can see some lines, two or three, or maybe four lines, that indicates that our radiation is in the some multimode radiation. And you also see some arc shape. This is because our spectrometer is a dispersive direction is here, and this direction corresponds to the some real position. So in the slit position, so we have our slit is like here, and the radiation is like here. So central radiation is a shorter wavelength here, and the off-axis has a longer wavelength, which is similar to the usual spontaneous undulator radiation. And if we cut along this line, so we have some spectrum here. And okay, then from this spectrum, we can estimate the pulse length of the radiation using the relationship here. For example, if we assume the pulse shape is rectangular, then the delta E bandwidth and the temporal width have some relationship here. So from this relationship, this is FWHM, and we get something about 43 femtosecond pulse width. But I have to comment that this is only some estimation because we have some assumption for the shape. But I think we really get the pulse length is shorter than 100 femtosecond. And this spectrometer measurement is used for the characterize electron beam parameter. So this view graph was shown yesterday in Take-san's talk. And this was measured by Tanaka Takashi-san. And he measures the ratio of the SASE intensity, angular flux intensity, to the spontaneous radiation. And with the changing the K value of the undulator. So our in vacuum undulator can change a gap. So and from that, so and he made some simulation using his developing code that was developed by him called Simplex code. And he evaluated the photon beam some density is we assume the emittance is 2 pi, then the peak current is 1.25 kiloampere. Okay, this grating is can be used to measure the spatial profile at the slit position. This is some schematic. So this is a very simple. So we can only use a specular reflection of the grating, like a usual spherical mirror. And this is an image. And we have get the beam size of the 3.4 or in horizontal in the 3.9 in vertical. So slightly difference is due to the different beta tron function at the, in the undulate. And this is a FWHM value. And so using the distance from the exit of the undulator, so we have a divergence, beam divergence around 240 or 280 microradian, which is nearly agreement with a theoretical prediction. And by replacing this quadrant slit to the double slit and the spherical concave grating to the plane mirror, we can evaluate the coherence property, spatial coherence property. And this is a double slit configuration. So we have a 100 micron width and the spacing of the 400 micron. And this is a single shot image of the from the double slit. This is SASE, and this is a spontaneous. And you can see that this have a very high visibility around 0.8. And so this indicates that SASE radiation has a higher spatial coherence. For the more quantitative measurement, we need to know that we need to change or prepare a different multiple set of the different spacing of the double slit, and which will be conducted in the as a next theme. Okay, this graph is also shown by Shintake-san. And this is a radiation energy in the pulse. And this is measured with a photodiode, some special photodiode delivered by the IRD company. And this is some in the tuning, this was measured at the tuning period. And if the we tune the accelerator condition to the optimize, then we can get a very good lasing. And the average lasing power is around 1 microjoule per pulse, and the fluctuation is 44%. And using the pulse length estimated previously, we have a peak power. We are estimating peak power about several tens megawatt. But as Shintake-san told by Shintake-san in the yesterday's talk, we have not yet reached saturation. So because one reason is so our tuning time is too short. So because from the first lasing to taking this old data, we only have had 1.5 months. So in the run from the beginning in the next month or this month, so I will expect it to the more we can get a more good beam performance for realizing the real saturation. Okay, the next part is X-ray optics. So I would like to focus the photon beam first, focus to the photon beam conditioning, X-ray beam conditioning optics. So there are two important issues for the developing the XFA optics. So the first one is the dose, radiation dose problem, and the second one is the spatial coherence. And the dose is FA radiation is very intense, so material can absorbing a very high energy from the single pulse. So if the absorbed energy is above the some threshold levels, the material will be melt. So this was calculation using our beam parameters shown in our CDR. And So we fix the distance from the source to the sample is to the 100 meter and the normal incidence condition. And we found the barium or diamond. So this rosy material is would be nice. So because this is a calculation that this is a threshold depth and we have a margin about that 100 or something. But and the silicon carbide is from here to here is also okay. And the silicon is from here to here is probably okay, especially for the high energy above the 10 kV or something. But the copper, so high Z material, would be melt. So we need to, the light low Z material would be preferred. Okay, the next is spatial coherence. So going into detail, I will briefly summarize the coherence property of the different type of wave field using some simple movies. So we start from the simplest case. So we have when we have a single electron, the radiation wave field is like here. So the wave field is completely coherent in the transverse and the longitudinal. But if the again, we have some point source, but if we have some many electrons in that radiates to the in random, so this is called a chaotic source, then we will get have some this type of wave field. So now the transverse coherence is perfect, but we have a lot of spikes in longitudinal. That means a temporal or energy spikes, and the last case is a planar, so some extended source with many electrons. In this case, the transverse coherence is limited. So to summarize, we have three type of wave field. So SASE, our SASE FEL is expected to produce this kind of wave field. But in this case, the optics should be very carefully designed. So bulk and surface quality should be very strictly controlled to avoid speckles. When the imperfect optics is eliminated by the coherent radiation, then they can have many speckles. On the contrary, our present synchrotron source has belongs to this type of wave field, and this size transverse coherence size is typically 10 micron in horizontal in our case. So it is so not so problem in our case, but we need to know the coherence property for the SASE FEL optics. So how to characterize using this optics, this light source. So the answer is very simple. So by extending the distance from the source to the sample, the this size is can very enlarged. So for example, we have a 1 kilometer beamline in spring edge. So in that beamline, even the horizontal coherence length is more than millimeter. So we can utilize this beamline for the characterization of these optics. Okay, I will introduce three examples that is performed at our 1 kilometer beamline. The first example is a mirror. X-ray mirror is important to cut the high energy radiation or to focus the X-rays. But it has been believed that the X-ray mirror cannot use under the coherent illumination because very small figure errors can produce many speckles like here. So the speckle pattern is one-dimensional because we are using a very grazing incidence condition about 2 milliradian or 3 milliradian. To develop the good mirror, we have collaborated with the University of Osaka, and they developed a special technique to the figuring, the polishing the surface of the a material, for example, silicon. So the first one is a PCVM. This is a plasma chemical vapor machining, and the other one is a EEM, called is a elastic emission machining. By combining these techniques, they can make a very good mirrors. So, for example, this is a picture is a measured at 1 kilometer beam line, and that this is a pre-machined surface. That you can see a lot of specs, but after the PCA VM machining, the spec is decreased, and by adding this combination of the PCVM and EEM technique, we have almost a flat reflection image that will be very useful even at the XFEL. And recently, this technique was used for the nano focusing by making some spherical shape of the mirror. So by combining these two devices, and we can get a very narrow, small spot size about 36 to by 48 nanometer. And this is recently applied to some of the biological research. So using some of the fluorescence X-rays technique. Okay, the next topic is a monochromator. So monochromator is used for the cut the specific bandwidths from the FE radiation observers in our cases. Okay, 6 × 10⁻⁴. And we have two options. The first one is the silicon. The silicon we can have choose a very wide bandwidth range from the 1 × 10⁻⁴ to even to the beyond the 10⁻⁸. So, and the other option is a diamond, which will be very useful for the extremely high dose condition. So for developing a good diamond, so we have collaborated with the Sumitomo Electric Industry, which is a Japanese company. So they developed the very good type 2A single synthesized diamond crystal. Type 2A means a low concentration of the nitrogen in the crystal. And this is a monochromic diamond crystal. And the typical size is around here, so 8 by 4 millimeter or something. This is a 111 plate, 111 net plane. And this is a this diamond was installed at some magnetic beamline at the spring weight. This is a diamond attached on some copper holder to. This is a cooled for the diamond to protect the very high power in the our undulator. And this is some characterization results. So we have this is a diffraction intensity by changing the angle of the crystal. This was also measured at the 1 kilometer beam line. And you can see this flat top intensity. This is very important for the diamond characterization. And this crystal have almost nearly theoretical intensity profile. And this is the image. And this was a installed result at the magnetic beamline, so beamline 39X of the spring weight. And this is a photon flux. Oh. Okay. Photon flux measured at the beamline. And you can see the solid line is a theory, while the dot is a experimental value. And you can see the agreement between the theory and the calculation is very nice. In the low energy regime in the below the 20 kV. But we have still have some spec-like image, so we need to surface polish or some bulk refinement to improve the image quality. This is a main problem. And the last one is a barium window, so which is a need required for the separate the vacuum in the undulator accelerator to the beamline or beamline to the user. And this is also measured at 1 kilometer beamline. And we have, you can see many beautiful specules from that barium window. And Goto-san has tried to improve the quality. So he found that this is, this image, this pattern is, he found this pattern was coming from the void, the volume defect in the, inside the barium. And so he tried to make the PVD barium to decrease the void, and he polished. And after that, we can get a very good image, flat field image. So it is better than, comparable or better than the Kapton window. Okay, then as a last topic, I will quickly introduce our recent result is for the photon beam diagnostics. So that is an energy spectrum measurement. So as a SASE beam is a spectrum or a temporal profile is a varied in the shot by shot, so we need to single shot spectrum. So in the many regimes, so we can utilize a single shot spectrometer. For example, in the terahertz regime, some Japanese guys have developed some polychromator, they call it. And we also learned this conference in the yesterday's post and talk. So these people developed a very nice detector and the system for the terahertz single shot detection. And the visible light, so also we can utilize. And the VUV, we also have the single shot spectrometer. This is first demonstrated by also by DAISY people. And but we don't have such device in X-ray. So this is a proposed configuration. And with so this is a very simple. So incident X-rays is parallel X-rays focused by the X-ray mirror. And the illuminated this silicon crystal to diverge the beam. And you can see with using some X-ray camera, then we can see some energy spectrum. And this is a proof of principle experiment was performed also at the 1 kilometer beam line. So we use a silicon, combine the silicon 555 monochromator in the upstream of our configuration. The photo energy is 10 kV, and we use the analyzer crystal also, the silicon 555 diffraction. And this is an image of on the CCD. And by tuning this energy monochromator, then we can have some change of the position of the beam. So that indicates that this configuration can work as a single shot detection. And by magnifying this structure, so we can have this intensity profile, and which is correspond to the energy resolution of the 17 milliEV. And this is included in the energy spread both for the monochromator and this system. So by deconvoluting the monochromator energy, then we have we got a energy resolution of the system as a 13 millielectron volt. And the important point, the key point of the technique is again the quality of the mirror. Okay. So because mirror surface quality is very important to suppress some artificial intensity modulation. And there are two applications of the system. The first one is to apply the temporal, estimate the temporal profile by measuring some small energy spikes so that we can expect that this system can use to characterize some few pulse lengths less than, shorter than few picoseconds. And the other important application is low resolution measurement using some silicon 111 or lower order reflection. Then we can utilize this system to for the diagnostics of the electron beam property or maybe tuning to the segment, undulate segment K, to matching the K value as shown in yesterday's talk from the Slack. And this was recently, just 1 week ago, published in the paper. Okay, this is summary of my talk. So we constructed a VUV diagnostic system, and the X-ray handling system is undergoing, and the diagnostic system, we developed some single shot spectrometer. Thank you.
We have time for one or two questions. In the middle here.
Hello. Do you have any software for modeling the coherent effects of the mirrors in terms of the ripple?
So you mean software is
computer? Yeah, computer program.
You mean that so the handling or sorry the
for wave propagating the for propagating the electromagnetic wave through a deformed mirror to actually
yes so Osaka people develop some software.
Is that your own software?
Actually yes, so I will ask them. So you mean that some availability? Yeah, I will ask.
One more question. If not, let's thank our speaker again, taking us to the X-ray regime.